This is the opening of the Year of Mercy. I'll talk more about it on Sunday, but anybody know why the Pope picked this day in particular to start the Year of Mercy? Anybody know? I had to find out. I had to remember this. I had a note that I put forward in my computer. It popped up this morning. Today is the 50th anniversary of the closing of Vatican II today. So all that happened from Vatican II in 1965, this was the end. This is why the Pope chose this, and also it's why they concluded Vatican II on this Feast of the Solemnity of Immaculate Conception. It was to dedicate it to Our Lady and all that was going forward. So it's an interesting day, and as far as I believe this is the first Jubilee year that's dedicated to a theme rather than a specific date, and so mercy. So today I was discussing with somebody Our Lady of Guadalupe. They were saying that we've changed the picture here. We're buying a new one. This is the one from the hall, and the question was, where's Jesus in this picture? It was somebody that wasn't familiar with Our Lady of Guadalupe. And the answer is, Mary is 9 months pregnant in this picture. It's hard to tell in a flat image, but it's very, if you know the story of the image, she's wearing a black sash, which in that culture meant I'm pregnant. And if you look at it, she's very pregnant. So Jesus is in the picture, but he's in the womb. And so there's the connection between that and this reading here and the Immaculate Conception, is that Mary is bringing Jesus to us. Jesus was a human being and God, and he was formed in the womb just like us. As his humanity was born, he didn't just come to earth as a 30-year-old man. He had to grow in wisdom and in grace like all of us do from conception. From conception, this was Jesus. From conception, it was you. Your mission, though we didn't receive it from an angel directly, we have a mission that in its own way is as important as Mary's, because only we can fulfill it. And we don't have the benefit of having heard it in advance, but we don't have a mission that was as tough as Mary's was. In order to fulfill that mission, she had to have something special. She could not have passed on to Jesus that tendency to sin that we all share as human beings, and that is the tendency to commit a sin. Jesus had to have been spared that we somehow have inherited from our ancestors, as is related in the story of Adam and Eve, which when we hear the exchange that goes on there, must sound very familiar to us. We look at that reading. Both these readings are two of my favorite readings in the scriptures. The Lord is walking in the garden. This is Jesus. Before he was incarnated, through him all things were made. So the Lord is walking in the garden. He's walking in the creation he has made. He knows he's created it to be free. We are now going to be created in the garden, the earth, and to have our moment here. And he offers us everything except one thing that they cannot have. And, of course, naturally, they want that one thing, and society still wants that. Anything that's forbidden, we want it. When we get it, it's not satisfying, because it's forbidden for a reason. It's poisonous to us, ultimately, but we want it. And, of course, Adam takes the apple, so to speak. There's no apple in this story, but anyway, they take this fruit, and the Lord asks them, what did you do? How did you know that you didn't have clothes? You know, so to speak. In other words, that you now can see things that you weren't meant to see. And the man says, well, it's not my fault. She made me do it. Does this sound familiar to anybody here? Anybody ever use that excuse? And what does the woman say? Well, it's not my fault. The serpent made me do it. Lord, he doesn't buy any of that stuff. Well, I had a discussion with my sister last week. I've got a 40-year-old niece that's blaming my sister for her upbringing and her father for her biology, and it's not her fault that she drinks too much and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, that may be true. There's not a person in this room that can't blame their parents for something. But at some point, whether it's biology or upbringing, but at some point we got to own our lives or we're never going to get anywhere. And this is the old story of Adam and Eve. It's got to be somebody else's fault. We're all victims, you know. And what was interesting about the story is that the Lord who created us then becomes the ancestor of these people. He becomes a person in time. Much later in human history, he becomes born through the same process of his own creation, that which is created, the uncreated, becomes created. That is, his humanity, his divinity is not created. Mary didn't create that, but she gave him his body, and it comes forth out of time. Then he goes back into time and takes the punishment that was due to us because of our sin of wanting that which we cannot have. And the sin is to be like God. And we are created beings. We are not like God. That is a gift that God wants to give us as children of God, but we can't grasp it ourselves. It's impossible. We are dust. So in order for him to do that, he had to inherit from Mary not sin. And so according to the doctrine is that Mary received from Jesus her salvation by virtue of who she was carrying, because God is outside of time. He gave her the grace of Jesus' salvation in advance so that she could be freed from original sin. There's a very interesting word in the prayer today. Father Tim and I were having dinner last night, and you know, when priests are having dinner, we talk about this kind of stuff. It's kind of funny. There's a word in the prayer over the gifts, which you haven't heard yet. This is the third time I've had to say it now, or fourth since this came out. I'm just going to read this to you. On the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us, Lord, as we profess on account of her prevenient grace, to be untouched by any stain of sin. Prevenient grace. Anybody know what that word means? We didn't either. But we're sitting there Googling it while we're having dinner. And I said, I'm not saying that again until I know what it is. I was sure that somebody at the Abbey made this up, you know, or something, this word. It turns out that it has an interesting history. John Wesley, one of the Protestant founders, used this very word to describe predestination and such. And it's actually a very ancient word in the Catholic Church. It means that to be preserved from, or to be shielded from, to prevent it, prevenient grace. It's probably another word might have been better for our prayer, but they're trying to teach us this theology. So our Lord wants to take from us that which is due to us, which is the wages of our sin, which is death. He wants to pay the whole price. It's a wonderful day to start the year of mercy, not just because it's the anniversary of Vatican II, which in and of itself is very interesting, but also because it's of infinite mercy that we cannot possibly make up to God what we have done. Whether it's large or small, God is infinite and we are not. We can't say we're sorry enough to an infinite God. Only an infinite intercessor, only an infinite redeemer can save us from this infinite death that we were due, the death of being mortal. And instead, God wishes to raise us back to what his original plan was when he created us, to immortality. But first we have to go through something. One last thing I noticed with this reading that I find very interesting is that when the Archangel Gabriel comes to Mary, there are two creations that come together at that moment. The angels are created separately. It is another creation. And they are outside of time and space because they're not part of the universe that we live in. They intersect with it. They can interact with it, but they are wholly different. They were created just themselves without having to grow like we do. But apparently, we don't know the whole story, but a great number of them, perhaps a third, fell from their places when they were tested. And we too are now being tested. And to see if we will do the will of God, we have a lifetime to do that. Mary represents that. She represents the choice that we all have to make to say yes to God, not when the Archangel Gabriel comes to us, but when we ourselves are confronted with the will of God, of which we have a lifetime to decide. And if we decide in error, the Lord is waiting to show us mercy, standing behind Adam and Eve, is all of us in this story. Let's face it, all of us have passed the buck on our sins, and Jesus takes the buck from us and says, I'm going to pay this for you. It's called reconciliation in the Catholic Church. And he takes the buck from us and forgives us if we only give it to him. That's what the Year of Mercy is all about. And it's really a great thing to have to beginning the Year of Mercy with prayer for our country, for ourselves, for our families, and in thanksgiving to God for all he wishes to give us. We also pray that we too will be people of mercy, because we need it so much, all of us, frail creatures of dust that God wishes to raise to immortality and life with him forever.